Bonjour.
Bonjour, ça va?
What?
How are you?
Pretty good. A bit
A
nervous.
bit nervous. We are getting very, very, very close to UTMB, Paddy.
Yeah.
How's life?
Oh, good, good. I'm feeling all sorts of things. Currently we're 10 days out from UTMB.
At recording, yes, we
But
are.
by the time we publish this, it'll be about 3 or 4 days out. So 10 days out, I'm into the taper. I'm nervous. I've just gotten over a cold. I've been a little bit sick, so the last few weeks of training has been a little bit disrupted. By disrupted, I mean in going from 140 hay weeks to a 6 kilometer week. So then
Slightly disrupted.
trying to bang out a 50K run on the weekend. So I think I'm coming back from that, but. Yeah, just experiencing all the emotions that go with it. I'm nervous, I'm confident, I'm excited, I'm scared. I'm pretty sure I've got a little tear in my calf muscle. But is that taper tantrum or is that legit? I don't know. So I'm gonna get one of the physios to have a look after this. But yeah, just in the final prep stages.
Oh, what, talk me through the final prep. What, let's say, what have you done in the last 3 weeks, 3, 4 weeks?
So I've still been training quite hard leading up to it. I've still been doing my strength work 1.5 times a week. But
Like the
for
half
me,
time is just the left side.
half time is, oh, when I say half, I'll do like a bit of a, I might, with a patient, I might go through 10 minutes worth of strength stuff and I'll do a little bit then as well. So it's not a full session, but if I do that a few times a week, it counts.
Yeah,
It
okay,
all adds
all right,
up.
fine.
So I do lots of little 5 or 10 minute bouts throughout the
We'll
week.
take
And then I
it.
do my big Friday 1 hour session. So I've still been doing that, still been keeping the mileage up. So we did our last 50 kilometer hilly trail run a few days ago.
That
And
was you and
that,
Jacko?
me and Jacko,
Yeah.
and that was the last sort of big one, the big dog before we go overseas. So the training for the next 10 days for me looks like, I'll go for probably two more midweek runs this week, like a 10K, 12K, just something that I can tick over. This Saturday, we're going to do like a 20K, just easy trot around the local road. So no hills or vert or anything, but 20K will take us, well, at speed, I don't know, less than 2 hours
Yeah.
maybe. It's nothing that's too crazy for us. And then we jump on a plane on the Saturday and we race next Friday.
Sweet.
So, or this
So
Friday,
by the
if you're
time this comes out,
listening.
it's gonna be like it's gonna be a Tuesday here. So it's probably gonna be a Monday
Monday
there.
night over
Monday night
in
over
France.
France, and then it's 3 or 4 days. Fuck.
Yeah, so send me messages on
Yeah.
Facebook
Wish him luck
and
and good
Instagram.
vibes and everything else. Have you struggled with anything in the last couple of weeks leading up to it?
I got a little bit sick, and it was nothing that forced me to take a day off work, but it was just, I just did not have the energy to run. And it's kind of bizarre going from, like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll do a 10K before work. And then at lunchtime, I feel like doing another 10K. And then in the evening, I'll do another 10K. Like I just feel like running all the time. When you just have running going through your blood and you're on form, you're peaking, everything's feeling good. And then next week, you cannot drag yourself out of bed. And then you need to have a nap at lunch. And then you come from work and you go straight to bed and you're
Yeah.
just wiped out. So I've been dealing with that the last week or two. That's been hard.
I've seen Paddy run out of the clinic to go, I'm going for a run, and come back a good 5 minutes later to go, fuck that, I'm gonna have a sleep. Because you were fucked.
So energy was just super low. But I'm on the back end of that and feeling good now. But one thing I've been prioritizing, which I have noticed has been a huge difference. And in those kind of 3 or 4 preceding weeks where I was bouncing with energy and I felt like I'd go for a run and then I want to do another run, I was loving it. I was really prioritizing sleep, and I think that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. I was, generally I function pretty well. If I get to bed before 10 p.m., I function pretty well the next day. But I was getting to bed at 9 p.m. and I was skipping out of bed at 6 a.m. feeling brilliant. And that, if you get to bed at 9 and then you get out of bed at 6, that's a 9 hour sleep. And that's when you recover. And that's when everything was clicking for me, when I was sleeping more. You cannot train well and you cannot recover properly if you're not sleeping enough.
Yeah, so big learning moment that year.
Oh, huge.
You need more sleep when you're doing these massive
distances.
Without a doubt.
Because I tend to work quite long hours, so that has its own element of fatigue in just my overall body load. So my sleep was my priority, and I was really conscious of eating good food.
Yeah.
Good food as in cooking it up at the start of the week and eating lots of veggies and green stuff throughout the week. And that was...
Sweet. I reckon that's a big thing, not only if you're training for like UTMB, but any sort of race you're going to train for.
Oh, yeah.
Recovery and sleep is so important.
Oh, 100%. And if you want to train like a pro, like if you want to push your body 5 days a week, you've got to recover like a pro.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people push their body really hard in training and then they sit at a desk for 10 hours and they go home and they get 6 hours of sleep and they do it again the next day, push their body, sit at a desk, not get enough sleep. And if you're in that routine, you're trying to train like a pro, but you're not recovering like a pro. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I've tried to do recovery like a pro, like all the outside stuff, and it's made the biggest difference.
Like, I reckon you're in a good situation where work is pretty flexible.
Yeah.
You don't have a family. You're not on a desk all day.
I can be quite selfish.
So you can be quite selfish. You don't have kids to look after or anything else. You can just go, cool, it's 9, I'm going to bed. I'm going to get up at 5 or 6 and do my thing.
Yeah.
Where for other people it might not be possible, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
But like, then you have to keep that in consideration and go, cool, I might need to back off from my running a bit.
And for me, I've made this event the biggest priority in my life, without a doubt. So everything else comes second. So my social life has suffered, without a doubt. I've spent more money on this race than I'd like to admit. But if I prioritize this and say, cool, the next 3 to 4 months of my life dedicated on this race, training for it, then sleep becomes easier to do and training becomes easier to do. And I'm lucky. I don't have I've got family, but I don't have dependents.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, which makes things a lot easier.
And the other thing is, it's going to be a 4, 5, 6 month training block.
Yeah.
And after that, you can go, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on shorter stuff. I'm focused on 50K marathon, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like shorter stuff for you.
Well, after this, I know that this is a hard slog for a few months, but then I want to get into rock climbing and I want to do some ocean swimming after this. And then, quote unquote, shorter stuff like marathons next year.
Exactly. Where you can focus on that and it's not going to take nearly as much time.
Yeah.
Like you still need to recover if you do hard running, but it's different.
Oh, it's so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been a big learning curve for me.
Yeah, cool.
But I guess it's all just taper now.
Mm.
So I'm going to do like a 20K run or so before I get on the plane, and then I've got essentially 5 days in France before, and I'm gonna go for like one or two little jogs around just to see the sights. Mm. 10K easy jog, and then probably 2 days on my ass before the race.
Cool. How's the body been holding up in the last couple of weeks? You said you had a bit of a calf tear, potentially, taper tantrum. I'm not sure.
So. It's not a calf tear because I can run and I can hop. If I couldn't hop, it would probably be a calf tear.
Yeah.
But I think I've got a little strain in my muscle. So I'm just managing that, doing what I can. And I'm going to get one of the physios to look at it straight after this. But that's the worst that's happened. I've been pretty good, really, considering I was in a moon boot for potential stress fracture in my foot 6 months ago. I've handled the load pretty well. I've been sore. Don't get me wrong. Like, things fucking hurt.
When you're doing
the loads I'm doing, I'm sore. But there's a difference between being sore and being injured. And my body has generally held up pretty well.
Mm.
So, I've been able to be pretty consistent for the last few months.
Well, that's great.
So, holding up pretty well.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm also losing weight. Like, I'm a pretty skinny dude. Like, you look at me and you're like, oh, he's a runner.
Yeah.
And I've stayed at the same weight within 2 to 3 kilograms for the best part of 7 or 8 years. But I have just lost 4 to 5 kilograms over the last couple of months.
Your load has increased so much. When's the last time you did 140K weeks?
Never, ever in my life. So it's incredible. I feel it's a difference. Like, it's only... 4 or so kilograms, but you feel that difference.
And it's a massive difference.
Yeah.
Try picking up 4 kilograms and run 20K.
Exactly.
You're like, why am I carrying this stuff?
So when you combine, my legs are more powerful, I'm carrying less weight. And it's just that tiny little bit of you know, probably I've lost upper body muscle for sure.
Oh,
I've definitely lost, my arms are skinny as all hell, but I'm also just lost that tiny bit of just that, like subcutaneous fat just around my belly. Just, I didn't have a lot of it, but I definitely notice a difference now. And that's just happens with, you know, months of training like an
athlete. Yeah. What weight are you on at the moment? Give or take?
I'm currently between 67 and 68 kilos, where ordinarily I'd expect to be 71 odd.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's been a funny little thing. I haven't been trying to lose weight. It's just happened, which makes me a bit concerned that I'm going to put 5 kilos on as soon as the race finishes.
Oh, but it's fine.
It is fine.
Like, you should.
Yeah.
You're in France, there's baguettes and cheese and shit like that.
Oh, my God, so many baguettes.
You're going to just fed out and just sit in the couch and eat. Get fed,
basically. I'm going to get fed. I'm going to drink a lot of wine. But, yeah, and then there's, you know, the whole race day. I think we're pretty prepared with how to manage it on the race. It starts at 6 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
So,
at least you got fresh into the first night.
Fresh into the first night. So this is completely unknown territory for me, but the chat, certainly I've talked to Jacko quite a bit about this, is we're hoping adrenaline will just get us through that first night, and then, you know, just the excitement of it will get us through that second day. And then we're thinking that as the sun starts to go down on the Saturday, after about 24 hours, that's when we hope or predict or assume that we'll start to feel a little bit tired then. So as we're going through that Saturday night, that second night, that's when we just, like, anything that has a hint of caffeine, just, like, get in just, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coke, coffee.
Yeah, everything.
Whatever we can get our hands on. So I think it's really exciting for me because I've put myself in a good spot where I'm fit, I'm strong, body's generally pretty good. So it just comes down to race day management.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't go out too fast, don't have sugar and caffeine too early in the race so that you crash later. It's
fair enough. Have you guys had big planning sessions with, like, the three of you and support crew and stuff like that?
We haven't sat down and had one big session, but we've just been doing bits and bobs constantly for the last, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
So we all kind of know the gist. We know what to do, but we haven't had a big sit down. We'll probably do that in France, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because we got 4 days in the town beforehand. But I think we all know it's something that, we've just been drip feeding information constantly.
Yeah. So
I think I've almost exhausted my brain of information leading up to this thing. I'm so prepared.
So who's come over for support crew?
So support crew, I have my girlfriend, Emily, Jacko has his girlfriend, Bree, and Steve has his partner, Kat. So we've all kind of got our wags, the wives and girlfriends.
Yeah.
I know Steve's got his parents will be there and some of his relatives from Scotland. My parents will also be there. Jacko's dad is dropping by as well. So between us, there's going to be about 20 people.
Yeah,
there.
Cool. Can you have support on, like, at aid sessions?
Yep, there are 5 opportunities to receive assistance and you're allowed to receive assistance from one person. So there are like 15 checkpoints along the way, but only 5 of them you're allowed help.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise you get disqualified.
No, so you can't, like, Emily can't give you a gel at a different checkpoint because you'll be like, nah, too bad.
Correct, yeah. So there are 5 points where we can have assistance.
Yeah, right. How far are those apart? Give or take.
30 kilometres, 80 kilometres, and then it's something like 130, 145, 160
or something like that. So it's back end.
Yeah, so it seems funny having the aid stations like 10 or 15 k's apart, but we're talking like 3 or 4 hours apart at that stage.
Yeah, it's not a road marathon or a, you know, it's going to take me 45 minutes to run this little bit.
After you've been on your feet for 30, 35 hours.
Yeah, even if it takes you 2 hours, you don't need an aid station. But
yeah, for sure.
But after running 30 hours and then running an additional 4, you need aid station.
And we use the word running. But
okay, slow shuffling uphills.
Shuffling. So the general strategy is, there's a big aid station at Courmayeur, which is 80 kilometres in. So at 80 k's in, you've got 90 k's to go. So my general strategy is to go super conservative, get to that aid station at 80 k's. And when they say, how are you feeling? My plan is to be like fucking so good. Like, I'm pumped. I'm feeling on top of the world.
Yeah.
And to be able to say that at 80 k, it means you have to go conservative. You have to go quite slow. And because this race is notorious for people going out too quick. So then the plan is just to pick people off one by one by one by one and eventually overtake people and start to feel strong and powerful from like 100 Ks onwards. That's what I'm going to try and do. I've got a mate who did this race, I think, 4 years ago, and his every checkpoint you go through, it records your position.
Yeah.
And so he went through the first checkpoint in like 1,700th position. And then at each subsequent checkpoint, he went from 1,700th to 1,500th to 1,300th to 1,000th to 800th to 600th. And he finished in like between 200 and 300 position.
Just because he's just been like, picking people
and
off.
He and he said he went super conservative, just kind of cruised the first 50K, got to that checkpoint at 80K, and from there he really pushed on.
Yeah, cool.
And to come in like the top 300.
That's amazing.
When he went through, you know, the first checkpoint in 1,700 position. So I'm going to kind of try and model it on that.
Yeah, cool.
Because every piece of advice I've heard is just don't go out too quick.
Yeah.
And which is, it's true for a 5K, it's true for a 10K.
Yeah, it's true for every distance.
Don't go out too quick.
If you go out too hard, you blow up halfway.
Exactly.
And then you're suffering for the other half.
Yeah, and through coaching, one of the big things you talk about all the time is negative split. Like if you do a half marathon, you want to try and do the sort of the second 10K quicker and come home strong, and that's a good negative split. It's generally good approach to racing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess the ramifications of going out too hard are just amplified hugely.
Yeah, over that distance.
Yeah, over a day and a half.
Yeah.
Like a blow up doesn't mean 20 minutes slower. A blow up means like 6 hours slower.
Yeah, 6 hours added on to a 35-hour day.
Yeah.
So it's
kind of cool. It's really nice sitting back at this stage about I'm prepared, I'm ready, I'm fit, I'm strong. Just don't fuck it up on the day. That way you won't have to add on an extra 6 hours.
Is there a plan or a thought just in case shit hits the fan, if something goes wrong?
In what sense?
For you, like body, mind, whatever.
Like I'm at the stage where I'm going to finish this event.
Yeah.
The only thing that will stop me from finishing this is if I'm having to be helicoptered out of there.
Yeah.
Because my shin is poking through my skin or something like that.
Don't do that.
If I've got a broken bone, fair enough, I might stop. But I will finish this race. A good result is like, if we can go sub 36 hours, that means we've crushed it.
Yeah.
If we go closer to 40 hours, then
good run.
It was good, but not,
amazing, but
good, but you struggled.
Yeah.
The cutoff is like 46 and a half.
Yeah.
So if we go
closer to that,
closer to 46, then fuck, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
But I just want to finish.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool being like, I don't care if I finish in 35 hours or 45 hours. I just want to finish. I'll take satisfaction out of both. I just don't want to suffer for those extra hours.
Yeah, you don't want to suffer for an extra 10 hours.
I'd rather be laying in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Drinking beer.
Crying.
Yeah.
Whilst drinking beer.
Yeah, and so I'm going to try and record the next podcast after the race, so that will be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be... yeah. Paddy's going to record the day after or that day.
I don't know. Honestly,
Paddy's going to record fairly close to finishing the race after that.
If I can speak.
And look, even if you can't speak, he's still going to record and he's going to send it to me and I'll make sure it will be dropped online.
It might even be a 2-minute episode.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, anything longer than 2 minutes is bonus. how are the rest of the boys doing? Jacko and Steve?
Yeah, good. Jacko has been managing Dickie. We've named it Dickie because he's had a bit of not an injury, but a really nagging niggle in his like pelvis at the front there. So we've just called it Dickie.
Yeah.
He's been managing that for like months, but he's actually coming on strong, like really strong now. And he's pretty much pain free, symptom free. He's really kicking it now. So Jacko's flying.
Sweet.
When like 2-3 months ago, we were like, oh, a bit worried about this injury, but he's good now. Man, Steve is just an ox. He's consistent. He's been training like a demon. He sprained his ankle like 2 weeks ago and it was all sorts of colorful and lots of swelling and it was not looking good on his ankle. But I strapped it up for him. He knocked out 30 Ks of hills last weekend and he's into his taper now. So he'll be okay.
Yeah, cool.
But, so it's kind of interesting. I've got this little thing I'm concerned about in my calf. Steve's kind of sprained his ankle 2 weeks ago. Jacko is generally pretty strong. So we've just been managing these little things and it's like you can prepare all you want, but it's still like a hard sport.
But things will come up.
Yeah.
No matter how well you prepare, no matter how strong you are, if you're doing that load, you'll have niggles to manage. But at least the three of you are smart enough to manage it and you're cool. Yeah.
And they were smart enough to enter into this whole race with a physio on their team.
So you'll be like running out and back to patch them up during the rest.
Oh, hell no. If they need patching up, I will beat them.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for your support, Paddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, I'm just fucking pumped.
Yeah, sweet.
I've packed my bag like 3 times so far. I've read the mandatory checklist like 20 times.
Have I got everything?
I think I'm all good.
Have you got everything?
I believe so.
Sweet.
I think I do. But I'm like, do I need that second thermal top? Maybe.
Have you looked at the weather forecast yet?
Well, yes, but there's also no point because it can change day to day. Like that's one day.
Yeah.
And so, like, I looked at the, so Chamonix, where it starts and finishes, that town the other day had a, you know, at 9 a.m. in the morning, it was 4 degrees, but then it got up to 25 degrees that day. It's like quite nice weather, but that's in the town. That's not up on top of the mountain peak.
Yeah.
So on top of the mountain peak, it can be sunny and like 25, 30 degrees, or it can be -5 degrees in a snowstorm. So like, and that can change day to day. So I haven't looked at the forecast in any detail.
Yeah.
I'm certainly prepared for, certainly prepared for like, it's going to be hot, I need sunscreen and a hat, or I'm going to need like thermals, a fleece, a waterproof and
gloves, like a beanie,
ski gloves.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm prepared for both and I've got the gear for both.
Sweet. Like how much are you carrying? Like how much weight, give or take?
I haven't weighed it this time around. I weighed my pack a couple of years back for UTA and that was 6 kilos.
Yeah.
So it'll be about that. It's a lot. It's a lot to carry all that weight up and down over those hills. But I've been training with it, training with a 4 or 5 kilo pack. So
yeah, sweet.
Should be okay. And I've got my cheat sticks and thick boys. So
yeah, perfect.
That's how you get through
it. I'll get you through.
Seriously, anyone who does an ultra, buy hiking poles. They are a godsend. It literally feels like cheating. It's so good.
That's not cheating.
It feels like cheating.
Fine. You're doing an ultra, you're allowed to cheat.
Yeah.
You're flying out on Saturday.
Yeah.
You're prepared, you've done your training, the other two boys are ready.
Yeah.
Do you want it to be sooner? Or are you like, let's get it over and done with? Are you at that stage?
That thought hasn't come into my mind. No, not really. I don't think so. Yeah. I know Steve has thought that. Steve's been thinking that for the last month. He's so over it.
He's done.
He's like, I want my normal life back. Whereas I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm enjoying the process.
Yeah.
I'm not wishing it to go any quicker. I'm actually loving everything.
Yeah, I reckon Steve having a newborn as well.
Well, he's got like a 3-month-old.
Yeah. So that's different.
But yeah, I think this, all these emotions, this sense of anticipation and excitement I've got, I'm loving it. I love all these feelings that I've got right now. So I'm trying to like just drink up every moment now.
Yeah.
I'm not wishing for this to go by at all.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think it'd be silly to have those thoughts in your head.
Where can we follow you?
Well, on the Instagram page, so Emily will be giving updates. So okay. She'll be at all the aid stations. So I'll get her to do some social media stuff on the That's Running page on the Instagram stories.
Yeah, there will be a good laugh towards the end of the race.
Oh, it'll be hilarious. You'll see us with Ultra Brain.
Yeah, I've seen Paddy with Ultra Brain on some videos he took of himself, and it's amazing.
Actually, I should post some of them.
Oh, that would be, we'll chuck those on Facebook somewhere, and Instagram. It's so much fun.
So we'll post the link to track the runners on Facebook.
Yep.
And it's kind of cool actually. So you enter the bib number of the runners and then you just get updates sent through to you. It actually have video cameras at the checkpoints as well. So you can see the runners come in and leave the checkpoints as well as just like a time update. So I imagine we'll be like skipping through the first couple of checkpoints and then after 150K, I don't know, but you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's the tracking for this event is super good. Like the tracking is obscene. It's awesome. So we'll post the links to that.
So definitely like jump on that because like, I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah.
And probably record those videos and go, hey guys, have you seen this?
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be good. A very good laugh. And then that's it.
And then we'll hear from you afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. I'll try and record a podcast at the end.
You have to. That'd be funny. You have to.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it.
Sweet.
If anyone has any questions or any wise words of advice, please send them through.
The words "don't do it" are not wise words of advice.
Yeah.
But people have told you that, right?
Yeah, mum told me that.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's your mum. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, sweet, mate.
Cool.
Fist bump. Good luck.
Thanks, bro.
Sweet.
Fuck it. Let's do it.